Welcome back to You Be the Judge, episode 13. Mitzvah Hashem will be discussing three cases relevant to Rosh Hashanah. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, deep dark night. Ari was leaving his home to go attend the slichus in his shul. As he drove through the empty streets towards his shul, which was located in the same neighborhood as his business, which was an exclusive jewelry boutique, Ari spotted two burglars emptying the contents of the store into their very expensive automobile in the alleyway. Instinctively, Ari knew he had no time to call the police, as the men would be long gone before the police would arrive. However, Ari knew he was no match for these two thugs, as they were at least 1.5 to 2 times his size. Ari's mind raced desperately. What could he do? Suddenly, he was struck with an idea. He maneuvered into the alleyway behind the store, jumped from his vehicle, grabbed a heavy cinder block from the building site next door, ran up the steps which led to the roof, and with all of his strength, hurled the cinder block through the windshield of the getaway car in order to immobilize the vehicle. Ari's idea was a smashing success. The cinder block landed directly on the steering column and warped the steering wheel to the point that it could no longer function properly. When the burglars realized that they had no getaway car, they were so stunned, they dropped their loot and fled empty-handed as fast as their legs could carry them. Finally, when the police did arrive, 20 minutes later, they discovered that the getaway car had actually been reported as a stolen car, and it was now severely damaged thanks to Ari's cinder block. They contacted the owner of the car, Leib, and as soon as he arrived at the scene of the crime, he thanked Ari profusely for saving his expensive automobile from the clutches of the thieves who had stolen it. And Leib also reminded Ari that in Shulchan Aruch, it tells us in Cheshen Mishpat, in Tav Chaf Aleph Gimel, that a person is always obligated to pay for any damage he creates, whether it's willful or accidental. If a man destroyed his friend's property in the process of saving himself, he must reimburse that friend for all the damages accrued for his item that saved him. Accordingly, Leib said, with all due gratitude, thank you so much for saving my car, but you do owe me for the entire front of the car. Please tell me how you're going to pay this bill from the car repair shop. Ari insisted, yet they should visit her up before Rosh Hashanah, as he had no interest in having an outstanding debt looming before the Yom HaDin. He was not at all convinced he had to pay. He had assumed that the getaway car belonged exclusively to the burglars. The question is, does Ari pay any money for damaging Leib's car or not? Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein answers the following. Even if Ari's store had not been in the process of being robbed, Ari just merely witnessed someone attempting to steal a car, and Ari attempted to damage the car in order to prevent the theft, he would certainly not have to pay for the damage he inflicted. This damage is not damage at all, but rather it's an act of protecting his friend's property from being lost forever, as they would sell the parts for scrap. Leib should actually be happy that Ari gave his car back in any condition. However, if Leib were to install a lojack, which is a certain item placed on the steering wheel of the car, and thus would have been able to recover the car without Ari's intervention, perhaps Ari then would have to pay. However, in our case, even if the car had not been stolen, Ari still would be exempt from damaging someone else's property. Why? Because had anyone else seen the burglar emptying the store in these pre-dawn hours, not only would he have been allowed to foil the robbery by throwing a cinder block to prevent the crime from taking place, but that he would actually have an obligation to do this, as Shulchan Aruch says, that one who sees someone else's item being stolen, you have an obligation to stop the thieves from committing the crime. This is not similar to Shulchan Aruch's case regarding one who damages someone else accidentally, because in this case, our case, any eyewitness has an obligation to step in and save this person's item from being damaged further or from being stolen further. Therefore, Ari does not have to pay either, even though it was in his own property that he had to have saved in the process. Although Ari's intent was purely to protect his own interests, his quick thinking in thwarting the thieves was an act that he was required to do regardless if it was his item or not, and therefore Ari is exempt from paying any damages whatsoever. Question number two. At the Beit Cholim of the hospital on Rosh Hashanah, Yeruchim happened to have been a chazan and a bal takeah, which had to be rushed to the emergency room. He had to stay in that hospital over the duration of a few days. And while he was there anyways, the gabbai of the shul of the hospital asked Yeruchim to please be the chazan for Shacharis and also to serve as bal takeah. Year number two rolled around, and again, Yeruchim had to be admitted into the hospital. Same time, same request. Year number three came along, and again, once again, Yeruchim's back in the hospital. The gabbai says, this has become a yearly tradition. Could you be the chazan and bal takeah? He says, sure. Now comes year number four. Year number four was a little different. Although Yeruchim once again came to the hospital, Rosh Hashanah time, however, there was another patient there who was much more proficient to stand before the Amid and blow the shofar than Yeruchim. The Tzibur said quite clearly they wanted to hear the other person, not Yeruchim. However, Yeruchim insisted, I have tenure. I have a chazaka here. I've been here for at least 3 years in a row. Should I not be the shul chazan because I've been doing this for 3 years in a row and I should also be the bal takeah as well? Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says, perhaps Yeruchim does not have a chazaka at all because you are not a permanent resident of a hospital. You merely happen to be there and it coincided with being 3 years in a row. Hence, he never intended to continue davening there on Rosh Hashanah. Each time that he was davening it, he thought this would be my last time being here. Therefore, even if Yeruchim filled the position, which happened to be for three consecutive years, the position does not belong to him. In addition, the gabbai who asked him to daven and be the bal takeah also never intended to appoint him to a permanent position, and therefore he does not have this chazaka of being a tenured bal tefillah and bal takeah at this location. Question number three. Yossi, who's a mile, lives in a remote suburb where there is no daily minyanim and no one who can blow shofar for him on Rosh Hashanah. Mazel tov, his wife recently gave birth to a boy. And the bris, what would you know, is going to transpire on Rosh Hashanah. Yossi knows he cannot transfer the baby and now must therefore choose the following. Either he should remain home for Rosh Hashanah in order to perform his son's bris, or he can travel to Rosh Hashanah in order to hear the shofar, but then his son's bris will be delayed for after Yontif. What should he do? The Sefer Das Torah in Tav Kuf Pei Dalet brings from the Nachal Eshkol that a bris must be performed on time, even taking precedence to the mitzvah shofar. The Das Torah adds that when the father, who is a male, which is our case, he is able to perform the bris, he must do it. Furthermore, he says, if the father is unable to do it, a male is not obligated to travel to a location that does not have a shofar in order to perform the mitzvah of milah on time if it falls on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Yossi has no recourse other than to stay home. Have a wonderful day.